This show furnished by Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn.
It's time for Gervie's Law, the intersection of law and life, with your host, injury compensation attorney, author, and mentor, Alan Gervie. Alan is managing attorney at the law firm of Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn, a workers' compensation law firm who have represented injured workers for over 35 years. Joined today by his co-host, radio personality, and television host, Carrie Kasem. Carrie brings a fresh, real perspective to the intersection of law and life, turning Murphy's Law upside down. And now, here are Alan Gervie and Carrie Kasem.
Good afternoon, Los Angeles, and welcome to Gervie's Law. I am Alan Gervie, and you might not recognize my voice because I'm losing it. It was here yesterday, and it's gone today. I must be coming down with something. I was looking forward to introducing my co-host, the beautiful Carrie Kasem, but she, too, is not here. I spoke to her earlier in the week, and she disappeared. I was looking forward to cutting her in half today on the show, but Carrie is snowed in Lake Tahoe, having a great time with Jesse, her boyfriend. I wish she were here, because I know she would love to be here for this show. This is Gervie's Law, first show of 2017, because last week we were preempted by the Los Angeles Kings. There was a live game in the afternoon last Saturday. Tonight, I will be at the Staples Center because my Winnipeg Jets are visiting the Los Angeles Kings at the Staples Center at 7 o'clock. So I'm taking little Hudson. It should be a blast. We've got our uniforms, our Jets uniforms. I'll be Patrick Laine, and little Hudson will be Dustin Byfuglien. So we're looking forward to it. I know you are all Kings fan because this is the flagship. KBC 790 is the flagship for the Los Angeles Kings. So I'm sure everyone who is listening is a Kings fan, but I'm sorry, we're going with the Jets tonight. So we have a great, great show tonight, today. We're excited to have with us Ed Alonzo. And a lot of you know Ed Alonzo because he started off his career as a magician extraordinaire, and then he was on Saved by the Bell. He played Max. He has been a Magician of the Year a couple of times, Comedy Magician of the Year. He's named Magician of the Year by the Academy of Magical Arts. He toured with Britney Spears. He was set to do the This Is It show with Michael Jackson before, unfortunately, Michael Jackson passed away. Ed has been a longtime friend of mine. In fact, I remember way back when Ed said to me, after I asked him how he did a trick, he said, "Can you keep a secret?" And of course I said, "Yes, I can." And then he looked at me and he said, "I can too." So I never found out.
I'm surprised we're still friends after that. I insulted you like that. Hello, this is the voice of Ed Alonzo.
This is Ed Alonzo.
Well, I can't believe that Carrie is away skiing when we're here. They've moved you to a warehouse here out in Pacoima.
No, it isn't Pacoima.
It's the craziest. Culver City. What happened to the nice studios?
It was beautiful.
In Beverly Hills?
I call this the dungeon.
Really? And Dr. Drew comes over here too? That must
Absolutely.
Be insulting.
Dr. Drew,
crazy.
Psycho Mike, we have everyone here just across the way. They're here at KBC Studios. They moved 2 weeks ago. So, Ed, you know, I know you're used to more plush studios.
Well, yeah, there's no catering here anymore. What happened to that?
I don't know. We're really falling on hard times, but I'll tell you something. You know, yeah. Ed says, "Why are we still friends?" And I'll tell you a story way back when Ed was performing in Vegas at one of these hotels that I think has since been destroyed.
Yeah, it was the Sands Hotel.
Sands Hotel.
Yeah, that's now, what, the Venetian?
I'm not sure what it is.
The Mandalay Bay or something. It's huge.
Some huge place. Yeah. But he was headlining at the Sands, and his assistant decided at 6 o'clock in the evening, an hour and a half before the show, that she was going to fly to L.A. because she got an audition to be some kind of actress or something.
That's right, yeah.
And Ed said to me, "What am I going to do? Because I need an assistant to do the magic." And what did Alan Gervie do? He put on the tutu.
That's right.
And I knew his act. I knew how to do it. I was the only one there. And the only problem was I kind of have a fear of ducks. And at one point, I'm supposed to bring a duck out on the stage.
That's right.
Ed looked at me off stage and saw that I wasn't going to pick up the duck, so he ran off stage, picked up the duck, and brought it out, and then made it disappear.
Yeah, you have always been terrified of birds.
That's true.
Which is so bizarre. And a duck is a big bird, and when those wings start flapping, I don't blame you. The ducks, they're nasty.
They are nasty, but you've made a career out of producing and making ducks disappear and other animals as well.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. I want to tell you, though, one of the things that we've talked about in our many years of friendship is Secrets of the Magician.
Yes.
Because that was one thing that I was interested in. Law school, I actually did a thesis on the secrets and protecting the rights of magicians. It didn't go very far, but it was kind of fun to do. That was back in the day when we were doing the show Magic Toy Box.
That's right. Well, you know, it's still with the magic tricks. It's so difficult to copyright or patent them or anything. So, but I know you have an expert on the show later today who's going to clear up the air. And once he gives me and the other magicians that might be listening today the right advice, we're going to go on a suing frenzy. And Chris Angel, I'm coming after you, palsy. No, I'm just kidding. Chris is fine. He does steal tricks, but it's because he's cool.
You know, they do say there was a German illusionist named Jan Roven who claims that Chris stole the Table of Death.
Right.
And what did Chris do in return? He accused fellow Winnipegger Darcy Oak of stealing his act on the British television show Britain's Got Talent.
Right, right, right.
And I don't know who to side with on this, but I'll tell you a little story about Darcy Oak. He actually, when he was moving to Vegas from Winnipeg, his father, Scott Oak, sportscaster, called my wife up and said he wanted to rent a house that she owned in Vegas. And she rented it to him. I mean, he's a Winnipegger, a magician. What more could you want? When the time came to move in, he disappeared.
Of course.
And we never saw him.
Yeah, well, that is just like a magician, especially a Canadian magician. No offense.
Let's leave Brian Glow out of this.
He's not from Winnipeg, though. So that's
he is. Darcy Oaks from Linden Woods in Winnipeg. But anyway, you know, I want to tell you, Ed, I remember, you probably don't even know this story. I was in Vegas, and I was seeing a magician in the afternoon, and he called me on stage. I was just someone in the audience called me on stage. And he started to do a trick, which was exactly the same as what you do.
Was it something I invented, or was it like a stock trick that I just do better than the other guys?
I thought it was something you invented because it had that Ed Alonso flair.
Right.
It wasn't like
the
floating rose or something. I think it might have been the Jack in the Box coming out of the paper.
Well, yes, that's mine. Of course, yeah. Who did it? I'm going to go after him.
I actually know who it is. I'm not going to say his name.
All right.
But I was on stage, and he wanted me to help him out.
Yeah, and you put him in a headlock.
I whispered to him. I said, I'm friends with Ed Alonso.
Oh, gee.
And he, like, gulped. He was really concerned because he knew he had probably ripped it off from you.
Yeah.
So he was concerned that I was actually a lawyer and I was going to take him to jail.
Right. Well, one out of two isn't bad.
But I'll tell you something. You know, Ed, we are going to learn a lot today about protecting magicians' rights and if they can be protected. We have, after the break, Jay Dougherty. He is the chair of the Executive Committee of Entertainment and Intellectual Property Section of the Los Angeles County Bar. He's a professor of law at Loyola Law School and director of Entertainment and Media Law Institute and Concentration Program. Now, he wrote the article, Now You Own It, Now You Don't, Copyright and Related Rights in Magic Productions and Performances. That's a guy who you need to talk to.
I need to read the book is what I need. I hope he brought a copy for me because I'm cheap. I'm not buying one.
It's in the book called Law and Magic. It's one of the essays in Law and Magic. And a lot of people ask you, I know, Ed, how do you do it? How do you do these tricks? Do you ever tell people?
If they have the right amount of cash, absolutely I do. No, of course not.
But
I can't give away the secrets.
Isn't that what that guy, the Belgian guy, did with Teller? And Teller actually sued him because he asked for like $3,000 on YouTube if people want to know how Teller did a trick, which he said was his.
That's right. Well, I think the only difference was this Belgian magician, the method in which the trick happened was different. But as we'll see later, the judge voted for Teller saying that the pantomime of the effect is what made it different. So even though the trick might be the same, the method was different, But to the audience, they don't know that the method's different, whether it came out your sleeve or if it was in a trap door or whatever. So that's what he really won on, was the fact that it was
right.
The whole emotional pantomime of cutting the flower and so on and so forth.
And that's what we're going to talk about. We're going to differentiate between the actual illusion and the performance.
Right.
Because a lot of times there's an argument that one can be copyright, one can be patented, maybe not.
Yeah.
But we'll ask Professor Daugherty how he differentiates. Then later in the show, we're privileged and honored to have back on Gervie's Law, Jeff and Kimberly Bornstein. If you haven't seen the Bornsteins, you need to see them. They'll be at the Magic Castle coming up, and they do some really incredible mind-bending magic. They can read people's mind. Now, you're looking at me, Ed, like you don't want them to read your mind.
I don't want them to read my mind. Absolutely not. But I wonder if they're able to reach through the microphone and read people's minds that are out there listening today. That would be awesome.
Yeah,
amazing.
That's what we might have to try to do.
Yeah. I want to put him on the spot and really give him the test.
You know, you have also had some experiences, I'm sure, where you're concerned with your magic act, which it's performed all over the world. Ed is in demand
and
everywhere.
Sometimes by me.
By you sometimes. That was a good one. Ba-dum-bum. Mm-hmm. Come on, John, get those sound effects going. You must be concerned. You bring people up on stage.
Yes.
You must be concerned about liability issues. In fact,
I understand. I carry a policy.
You do.
I carry a million and a half dollar policy just for the audience, because a lot of theaters. Well, I throw things in the audience too, and so if something were to land on someone, they said, "Oh, that playing card cut me," or "That bowling ball cracked my head open." I want to be covered for that sort of thing. So it's important to do that, or even just bringing someone up on stage if they trip and fall.
Exactly.
You know, and, you know, the worst thing that could happen is then they would own my act.
Yeah, and you don't want that
because
other people perform it, so
that's
you want
right,
to make sure that you own it.
I'd rather have someone rip it off properly. is the way to do it.
So David Copperfield is actually being sued right now by a British guy. He came to Vegas, I believe, to see his show. It was his 53rd birthday,
okay.
And he was part of the disappearing audience trick illusion.
Right,
and he was supposed to run around. You know, there was a black stage and a light on, and he was running, and he tripped, and he claims he has brain damage as a result of being part of the audience who was disappearing.
Not just from watching David's show, but actually from tripping and falling.
Well, I'm not sure about that. That is what Discovery is for, ladies and gentlemen. We have to take a quick break.
Okay.
If you want to hear some more comedy, stay tuned to Gervie's Law. We have Ed Alonso coming up after the break. Professor J. Daugherty on Magic and the Law. You're listening to Gervie's Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
It's home of the Kings, baby.
790 KABC.
What if you could store your IRA or 401k where you could see, touch, and hold it in person in the form of physical gold and silver coins? With the Augusta Gold and Silver IRA, you can transfer retirement savings into physical coins and store them where you can actually see them. Getting started is absolutely free, so call now, 855-858-5807. Call toll-free, 855-858-5807 now for your free guide to Augusta Gold IRAs.
Geico presents Unanswerable Questions.
Why are yawns contagious? What makes some ketchup fancy? Or the big one, why doesn't everyone switch to Geico and they could save 15% or more on car insurance? However, you could be a part of the answer by switching to Geico and saving hundreds for yourself. Money you could use to purchase bottle after bottle of the fanciest of ketchups.
Geico, the answer to savings. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
Have you or someone you know been injured on the job? Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn Lawyers understand that physical and emotional workplace injuries severely impact your life. You have rights when injured at work, but you need an advocate to avoid getting lost in the red tape of a broken system. Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn Lawyers fully understand the complex workers' compensation system and will protect your rights if you've been injured on the job. RGW Lawyers won't give up when the insurance company fails you, and they have years of experience with catastrophic injuries like brain injuries, strokes, chemical exposure, cancers, and death. RGW Lawyers are compassionate and aggressive with over 40 years of advocacy for the rights of injured workers and have helped people change their lives with some of the largest settlements in California. You need someone in your corner if you're suffering from a work-related injury. Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn Lawyers will fight to get you the medical treatment you need. A workplace injury can happen at any time. Put this number in your phone now. 855 855-4-RGW-LAW, 855-4-RGW-LAW, or go to rgwlawfirm.com.
Does your basement or crawl space have damp, musty odors? Do you worry about indoor gases and pollutants? Everyday living generates moisture that can nourish mold and odors, even asthmatic triggers. Indoor pollutants linked to respiratory ailments, birth defects, and cancers can become trapped in your home. You can't buy health, but you can buy Wave's moisture control and air quality products. Wave Home Solutions, for a dry, healthy home. Satisfaction guaranteed. Go to dryhome123.com. That's dryhome123.com.
For you.
Coming up on the next Drive Home with Jillian Barbary and John Phillips, we're back after a long weekend.
Let's hope you enjoy your long weekend away from us and away from the boss.
Live and local right after Dr. Drew and Mike Hathaway right here on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
It's a kind of magic. It's a kind of magic. A kind of magic. One dream, one soul.
You're listening to Gervie's Law, the intersection of law and life on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Of what should be.
Nice. I love it. It's magic. There's so many songs that talk about magic. I'm not sure it's always the magic that we're talking about today, but, you know, it's such a subject that people just love to talk about. Magic is fascinating. And the law, to me anyway, is fascinating. We are marrying magic and the law right here on Gervie's Law today. And we have with us Ed Alonzo, who you may have seen on so many shows, Masters of Illusion. Ed, that was on recently, wasn't it?
Yes, that is continuing on the CW network. It's on every Friday night. And next Saturday, we go back into the studios to start taping season 4.
Wow.
Yeah, which is great. Now, this Masters of Illusion has been around for a long time. It's Gay Blackstone, who was married to Harry Blackstone Jr., who passed away many years ago, is a talented magical producer of television shows, and so she's done a ton of these. And every few years, this Masters of Illusion has been changing networks. We started off on MyTV, and then
CW.
Well, now we're on CW.
Right, CW.
But it's been around, and the CW is a great home for it, and I'm excited to be part of season 4, even though it's really like season 9.
Excuse me, this is a law show.
Oh. Okay, you're going to sue me?
So let's bring the expert on.
Let's bring the magic.
Let's bring the magic to the law. We're going to talk about what Ed fights with every day, people stealing his illusions.
A lot. Not every day, but most recently, more and more. You know, I have this trick that I call the troll, and it's a little puppet that's the size of like a dwarf. It's about 3 feet tall. And the dwarf carries a trunk on his back and he enters the stage and then the trunk crushes the troll and I pop out of the trunk. And I've done this thing for about 25 years or so now.
Right.
Anyway, this thing has become super popular. It was put into a theme park in England with a little troll carrying a box on his back. But the thing that they changed is out of the trunk are more little puppets. So the guy's even busier in the box than I am. And then, this is the funniest one. About 3 months ago, a magician sends me, a magician from Germany, sends me a picture of a 3 foot tall rabbit costume carrying a trunk on his back. And he says, I'm a big fan of yours. I just wanted you to see my latest creation. And I thought it was a joke. But once again, he, you know, has just ripped the thing off. So I have no idea how I would go about to protect something like this. Probably can't be done.
But
the professor knows, yes?
We are here to serve. I want to introduce Jay Dougherty. He is an authority. His resume is very impressive. He's been an entertainment attorney for most of his life. He is now professor of law at Loyola Law School, director, Entertainment and Media Law Institute and Concentration Program. He is also the executive, the chair of the Executive Committee of Entertainment and Intellectual Property Section of the LA County Bar. And he wrote, Now You Own It, Now You Don't, Copyright and Related Rights in Magic Productions and Performance. First of all, Jay, welcome to Gervie's Law.
It's great to be here.
It's great to have you. Now, you have a real-life magician sitting next to you here in studio. Tell us how you would help him when he says, I don't know what to do. I'm hearing about these people stealing my tricks, or at least the troll idea or a rabbit, variations. How do you approach this?
Well, it's not easy. Magicians and magic are in a type of work that has somewhat limited intellectual property protection, like cooking recipes or fashion design or comedy. Ideas are very difficult to receive legal protection for.
Now, so Professor, I remember in law school, one of the first things I heard was ideas are as free as the air.
That's largely true. Certainly true in with regard to copyright. Although I think that, as Ed described it, it's conceivable that he could do something along the lines of what Mr. Teller did, which I'm sure you'll be talking about
right.
later, in terms of creating what Teller called a dramatic pantomime. And that's a type of copyrightable work. And if someone were to come too close to the specific way he did it, and where exactly is too close is not easy to know. That might be a copyright infringement, as was found in the Teller case.
Do we talk about substantial similarity when we look at the two works?
Yes. That's always the case when you deal with copyright infringement. And in the case of, again, I don't know if I'm getting ahead of things with Teller.
No, go ahead.
But, there were some differences between this Belgian magician who took off with Teller's trick. He used a different shaped container for the rose, for example.
Right.
But the court ultimately found in that case that there was enough similarities between them that he could get protection. And Teller did something very interesting and different and smart. His lawyers probably did it.
Right. He paid a lot of money. I heard he paid $1 million, which most magicians wouldn't do, to
get that illusion?
Yeah, well, to teach a lesson, I think.
Oh. So he did something very interesting, and that is that he registered it for copyright, and he wrote a script with drawings to show the performance, and he called it a dramatic pantomime, which kind of confuses things from a legal point of view.
Yes.
Because pantomimes don't have to be dramatic. They don't have to tell a story. They can portray events and characters without telling a story. It's hard to see the troll with the trunk on his back
right.
Telling a story, but he's acting out a character or an event or situation, and it's conceivable if you could write it up in a way like a screenplay, Ed.
Do you recommend that someone like Ed would file for copyright protection in the way you're describing?
There's nothing to lose except that, one of the traditional long-held ways that magicians protect their effects is through keeping them secret.
Right.
And so once he's put it down on paper, either as a patent or as a copyright application, then it might be more difficult. Although the mechanism, you can't copyright the mechanism that you use to appear out of that trunk.
Right.
And so you wouldn't have to disclose that in your script of your bit.
I mean, part of the problem with magic is there are only so many methods. I mean, if you get into card magic or close-up magic, that's a whole nother language. But as far as illusions go, the methods are so similar. There's maybe 8 or 9 different methods. So that is always part of the problem, mm-hmm. is that we're redressing these effects to look different and brand new, utilizing old methods. And a lot of the stuff that I do doesn't even really have a magic method to it. It's just sort of a visual thing. For an example, I do a trick called the Hokey Pokey to the song The Hokey Pokey. And I put a rabbit in a top hat, and I stick a hacksaw in there and saw away. And then I pull his body parts out one by one. So, left arm, right arm, whole self. So even though I'm using the Ray Anthony Hokey Pokey as the background, I'm doing a pantomime with these fake rabbit parts. Do I have any legal consequence to deal with if people take this routine?
You can't protect the idea. You can't protect things that are not original. And so these methods, as you say, that have been recycled over time, methods can't be protected by copyright. Methods can be protected by patent, but they have to be unique. They have to be novel.
But when you do that, as you said, you're going to expose how the thing is done. If you're trying to obtain a patent, I talked off the air with you about the 1921 case of Horace Golden, who tried to file a U.S. patent for sawing a lady in half. And then the R.J. Reynolds Company, through their Camel cigarettes, actually used it in their ad saying, it's fun to be fooled, but it's more fun to know.
Yeah, Golden was very active in protecting, legally protecting his magical mechanisms. And he did actually patent the lady sawing in half illusion. He had a number of lawsuits, including the one that you mentioned. Eventually, he lost his patent, and he had to rely on other theories like unfair competition to protect himself. He won some, he lost some. And there have been many famous magical devices that have achieved patent protection. It's not easy. It's expensive, unfortunately.
Right.
Unlike copyrights, which are somewhat simpler to apply for, patents are complicated. So you need a lawyer to patent something. But it can be done.
Now,
and the mechanism for tearing a bunny in half reminds me of a mechanism about disappearing into a box is a very famous old illusion in magic. And at one point, one of the magicians who did it, I think they cut a monkey up in parts or something, or a kid. Actually,
oh, wonderful.
Oh, no, that guy stole it from me.
I never saw you kind of kid up.
That was my bit.
Yeah.
What about like David Copperfield's flying illusion? And he doesn't even perform it much anymore because it's been ripped off so many times. But the perfect example is David and the guy who came up with this mechanism, Johnny Gaughan, they patented this thing. And I really only knew sort of how it was done when I first saw it. I had a good idea. Once the patent was out, I was able to go right to the patent office online, download a copy of it. Okay, now I've never done anything with it to rebuild it, but a lot of other people have, to where they have reinvented the wheel, the flying machine, so to speak, and made it better, simpler over time. So I think that only damages things when you patent something, because now you've given away half of the secrets, and you've put the whole equation down there. Now magicians can look at that, take the best of it, and try and make better of it. Don't you think?
Yeah, that's the whole idea of patents, really, is that you're disclosing, in exchange for 20 years of fairly strong exclusive rights, you're disclosing the method. You're disclosing exactly how the device works. And it's very precise and very thorough. The idea is that it should be able to be put in practice, they call it. And, of course, improving a patent, it's conceivable that an improvement in patent could itself become it's patentable. So that's something to keep in
mind. Very interesting. We have to take a quick break. I want to give people an option if they want to call in 800-222-5222, 800-222-5222. We're talking to Ed Alonzo, magician extraordinaire, and Jay Dougherty. He is professor of law at Loyola Law School. We will have the Bornsteins coming up as well. Stay tuned. You're listening to Gervie's Law right here on 790 KBC.
News, talk, evolve. 790 KABC.
At Simple Mobile, we want to make wireless simple, so we won't use any sound effects like to describe our blazing fast network. Simple Mobile offers truly unlimited high-speed data, talk, and text for just $60 a month. Sure, we could use lots of
echo to show how bottomless our unlimited high-speed data is,
but we won't. Bottom line, we give you more speed and data for less money, because if you want better wireless, the answer's simple. Available at Dollar General, Family Dollar, CVS, and other select national retailers. Savings may vary. Actual availability, coverage, and speed may vary. A month equals 30 days. Please refer always to the latest terms and conditions of service at simplemobile.com.
It's Peter Tilden, and I want to tell you about Flooring Pros. Their selection and prices are definitely going to floor you. They've got beautiful natural hardwoods and laminates and vinyls and tile, and they can beat the price of the big national advertiser who you see advertise every day by as much as 50%, and they get it done right because they have enormous selection and everything is in stock. So that means you can get a free estimate one day and installation the very next day. Check out FlooringPro.com. They're on Google. They're on that beautiful website, House. And check out their Yelp reviews. They're fantastic. So for the largest selection and the finest hardwoods, environmentally friendly flooring, laminates, exceptionally trained experts, and the best price guaranteed, call the number one flooring company in Los Angeles, FlooringPro.com, at 800-815-1565. That's 800-815-1565. Call them for a free estimate or go to FlooringPro.com.
Flooring Pro, their prices will floor you.
This is Nnamdi Asamoah. I play football for the Philadelphia Eagles, but what I do off the field with United Way might be more important. I'm a volunteer tutor and mentor. Why? Because over a million kids a year drop out of school, and that's not okay. It takes 12 years to create a graduate, but it takes about the same time to create a dropout. And the difference between a child becoming one or the other could be me, or it could be you. Studies show that if we get to these kids earlier, their chances are better. And kids who read well by third grade are more likely to graduate. So join me in United Way. Suit up and take the pledge. Become a volunteer reader, tutor, or mentor. Because when a child succeeds, we all succeed. Give. Advocate. Volunteer. Live United. Take the pledge at unitedway.org. Brought to you by United Way, the Ad Council, and the National Football League.
Wake up! Wake up! With Doug McIntyre in the morning!
Millennials are spending more on coffee than they are on the future.
But if you don't have your coffee, then you're not going to function well at your job. You're not going to have any money
doing that. And you
get
fired. That's a great rationalization. This is how Randy Wang does it. This really is how you do it.
This is how I drink a cup of coffee before I come in, three cups off my Keurig when I'm here, and I buy an iced tea from Del Taco on the way to work.
On the way to, that's just to get here.
That's just the start.
Yeah, what goes on the rest of the day?
I sleep.
McIntyre in the morning. 5 to 10 on KABC.
Welcome back to Gervie's Law, turning Murphy's Law upside down on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Yes, we're back. This is the Three Ring Circus. I like to call it Gervie's Law. We have an amazing we have an amazing show today because it's just so magical. It's illusionary. I can't even hear you. You're on.
I was going to say it's like a sideshow of freaks that you have in here today.
That's true. You know, it's funny because the freak that just spoke, yes. He actually is a former. You were on Save the Bell. You played Screech.
I was Max, the owner of the
Screech?
Diner. No, no, please, no. Oh, poor Dustin Diamond. He may still be in jail listening to this.
He probably is.
Oh, my goodness.
Did I tell you when I saw him in Vegas, he was doing a comedy routine?
Yeah, and he did half of my act up there.
He did it?
Right.
And then he was really...
No, he didn't get any laughs either.
He wasn't getting any laughs, and he said, I could just sit here and say nothing, and I'd still get paid, and you wouldn't, point to the audience. Then he saw me, and he said, hey, there's the lawyer for Saved by the Bell, Alan Gervie, in the audience.
That's right.
I went under my seat.
Well, of course.
But I'll tell you, we are having an interesting conversation. We have Professor Jay Daugherty. He's with Loyola Law School, and he wrote the essay, Now You Own It, Now You Don't, Copyright and Related Rights in Magic Productions and Performances. That's in Law and Magic, a collection of essays. And we also are bringing in a few minutes, we're excited to have the Bornsteins, Jeff and Kimberly, of course. They have an amazing story, how they got together, how they can read minds. So if you want to have your mind read, call in 800-222-5222. You know, Professor Doctor, I want to ask you, there's a guy, Steve Leventhal. He had a motion filed against him because he performed magic in the courtroom. Not sure what that was all about, but he said if you do the same magic trick but produce a different card at the end, is it the same trick or not?
Well, from a legal perspective or a magic perspective?
You're the lawyer here.
Yeah. From a legal perspective, probably not. You know, the details of expression might be protectable, but just using a different card to do an age-old close magic with card deck probably is not going to receive anything much by way of legal protection.
So a lot of this has to do with performance, because I think the audience who's listening now, it's an intriguing subject, but at the same time, they don't seem to get it. Like, what is protected and what isn't? For instance, trade secrets.
Mm-hmm.
That can't be protected, can it?
Well, trade secrets have some value as long as you keep something confidential. Don't disclose your trade secret to people without getting them to sign something in advance and in a non-disclosure agreement or something like that. That's true of any idea. You can receive some, you can have essentially contractual rights to be paid or to receive something else in exchange for disclosing an idea, and that idea could be a magic method as well.
Now, Ed said earlier that there are 7 or 8 or maybe 9 certain principles that are involved.
There's 10 now. I just came up with a brand new one, but I'm not going to share it with you guys.
The newest one. Well, you need to get it patented.
Yeah.
So someone could say, I figured this out on my own. For instance, I may have had access, because we talk about substantial similarity and access. I had access to the Bornstein's Act, to Ed Alonzo's Act, but I figured out how they did it.
it's not trade secrets. I'm not violating anything.
That's true about trade secrets. Yeah, you can reverse engineer something. The most famous trade secret is the formula for Coca-Cola. And if someone could actually reverse engineer it and figure it out precisely, that would not violate trade secret law. So you're right. Trade secrets, very limited protection, although it is something.
For patents, can't they be slightly different so that you can differentiate and say, hey, that's not a violation either?
Well, not. I don't think so. If you're building on someone else's patent, you're also using their patent. And patent rights are very strong. So if someone independently comes up with the same invention, method,
right,
device that you came up with, that's an infringement of patent law. Whereas if someone independently creates the same dramatic work, choreography or something, without copying someone else, then that is not a violation of copyright law. So patent's very robust.
I can see that. In fact, I see Ed right now kind of looking over the shoulder of Kimberly Borenstein. And I don't know if you're trying to steal one of their tricks or what's going on there.
Right, I'm just trying to read her mind, actually, which is a new thing. No, these guys do a mind reading act. So I wonder, like, how does that work with a patent?
I thought everyone's mind was unique.
Yeah.
Well, I guess it's hard to talk about it without digging into what their secret methods are to create the effect that they do. So,
well, thanks for that introduction, Jeff and Kim Borenstein.
Well, thank you for having us back
nice
on the show.
Nice to have
thank
you here. I love having you guys.
Don't tell the public exactly
just listen
how
to this.
You do it.
We just came up with, forget the method, we have a whole brand new act now. It's called the Mind Reading Troll.
Yeah. Oh, look at that.
I know. Comes out of a box. Wow. On the back of a monkey.
Oh, that's a
wait a second.
My thing.
Professor? Comes out of a backpack.
Yeah. Oh, no. Oh, see, it sounds better, actually. Maybe,
Ed, you should have stayed home today.
You know, it's probably cheaper for me to purchase the new version that you have than to take you to court for the original one I invented.
Right.
Yeah.
We could just give you residuals.
Oh, okay. I do love the residuals.
Right. Professor Doherty asked you a question.
Yes.
You know, you don't have to disclose secrets. But we're talking about if you have some concerns about people taking your act.
Well, certainly. So, and like Ed said, there's only a handful of methods, and Ed even goes with mind reading too. We always like to say a couple things. Besides the methods, people say after our show, they'll come up to a magician and say, okay, how did you do that? Or that was impressive, or they have an idea, however it's going to work. But in mind reading, which mind reading is the highest form of magic. A lot of people don't realize that.
I'm sitting right here next to you. Mind reading is the highest form of magic? Please.
Wait, we just got a call. David Copperfield is on the line.
Yeah.
And he he wants to know, how is that the case?
How is what the case?
Mind reading.
Oh, mind reading.
I think it's because whenever it's something that... I think, like, whenever you're a magician, you have props in front of you. You have visuals. Whenever you're doing the mind reading, you're kind of taking it to a different level. That you're letting the person that you're trying to connect with, this is how it works for me, it's like they perform the magic in their mind. Because I physically don't have things in my hand. And I think that's maybe what you're trying to say.
So here's
because
what I'm
that
saying.
Kind of taking it to a higher
And Ed is
form.
One of the best illusionist magicians that I know. And I mean that seriously.
I totally agree.
Amazing.
And I mean from the bottom of my heart.
Yes.
Heart of my bottom, either way. But you get what I'm saying.
Yes.
But my point is, highest form of magic, meaning that when people we have people come up to us saying, hey, can you tell me where I lost my diamond bracelet? Or they'll ask us to do a cold read. And we just say, you know what we do is for entertainment purposes only.
Because it
and
can get really creepy.
It gets creepy. We had one guy stalk us through email for like 2 months. Tell me where I lost the keys to my car.
Because he had his young child, locked
in the car.
In the car.
And for 2 months he couldn't find his child.
And you didn't help him?
We told him, go look in the car.
Wow. That is much better than all the years of magic that I've studied.
Right.
That is
AAA,
a very high
right?
level.
Right. Exactly.
So check the car.
See, Alan, you knew.
You never get out of a phone booth either.
Call a locksmith. Anyway, so, you know, but call Ed Alonzo. Someone,
wow.
Anybody. So the point is that mind reading is the highest form of art, meaning that... And like Kimberly said, you don't have a lot of props, and Ed's not going to be walking around with a troll. Well, maybe you would, but you're not going to be walking around with different methods in your back pocket and someone just says to you, hey, are you on right away? Whereas if no, he needed to be on right away,
he doesn't really trust people. He keeps it in his front pocket.
Yes. Front pocket, right, yeah. Right. Watch for the pickpockets. But there's so
is
much
that an said. Illusion in your pocket, or are you just happy to be here?
That's my magic wand.
Yes. That's the magic bandana.
That's
trick.
My Johnny Gunn Stage Magician of the Year wand.
Jeff, have you had any instances where people have, that you wanted to sue them or they were going to sue you?
Oh, yeah. Chair just went down. That was a magic trick. That was pretty cool.
Back up. We're in the dungeon.
We're in the dungeon. Great. I love this studio, by the way. This half of
it's amazing.
It, right?
Huh?
This half I like right here.
That's the whole thing.
Different show. So, yes, actually, there's an effect that, and by the way, for those of you out in Radio Land, the difference between a trick and an effect. In the business, we call it an effect. Lay people call them tricks. Either way, doesn't matter to me, but I stick with the effects. But ring flight. Ring flight is where a magician will take someone's ring, make it vanish, and it reappears in someone's, in a magician's back pocket in his key case, zip shut on a key ring, linked. I did that trick for years in my show, and I still continue to do that. And so at the Magic Castle, where we frequent quite often, we're regular performers up there, I would have on occasion, guys would come up to me and say, I want to propose to my wife. How can I do this? So I'd incorporate the ring into the key ring in the key case, and they would get down on their knee in the middle of my show, stop the show, all the women would be like, oh, it'd be awesome, and it'd be a moment. So I had this wonderful idea. I said, I'm going to go ahead and write this little quick pitch, and I pitched it to TLC, not in what you were talking about, Professor. I had no idea, nothing about NDAs, knew nothing about
Non-disclosure agreements,
for those of you who didn't know what that was, like me, and at the time. And I called up, it was Fox, and I called up TLC. And over the phone, being very naive, I just told them everything. They said, well, if we're interested, we'll call you back. Okay, great. And the name of the show, it's called The Proposer. And the idea was that if you have a girlfriend and you want to propose to her, we will do it. I will do it for you, whether it's in a restaurant, we'll do it magically. If you're walking down the street, I'll bump in you. We'll stage this whole thing, however it's going to work. Your girlfriend will have no idea how this is going to happen.
What happened?
Six months later, I get a call. Hey, Jeff, I saw your show got picked up. I said, what?
Oh, that wasn't my show.
It wasn't my show.
Wow.
And the only twist was that they provided the ring.
We got to take a quick break, but before we do, Professor Daugherty, you hear that story all the time, I'm sure, and through your career as an entertainment attorney, we all hear about that.
We do, and I think the important thing to do and keep in mind for future would be to not disclose your ideas without making sure that the person understands what you expect for it and accepts your idea knowing what you expect for it.
Now,
do you have a written document or not?
Well, I registered with WGA, which apparently didn't mean anything anyway, so.
No, and a lot of times people are just trying to get the gig. Mm. They're not thinking about protecting themselves. Yeah. We see that all the time. We got a lot of people on the line that want to have their mind. I can't believe it. Why do so many people want their minds read? Our boards are lit up. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. We're going to have one more segment with the Bornsteins, Alonzo and Daugherty, right here on Gervie's Law, Talk Radio KBC.
Hey there, what's the frequency?
790.
And the letters?
KABC.
Have you or someone you know been injured on the job? Rowan Gervie and Wynn Lawyers understand that physical and emotional workplace injuries severely impact your life. You have rights when injured at work, but you need an advocate to avoid getting lost in the red tape of a broken system. Rowan Gervie and Wynn Lawyers fully understand the complex workers' compensation system and will protect your rights if you've been injured on the job. RGW Lawyers won't give up when the insurance company fails you, and they have years of experience with catastrophic injuries like brain injuries, strokes, chemical exposure, cancers, and death. RGW Lawyers are compassionate and aggressive with over 40 years of advocacy for the rights of injured workers and have helped people change their lives with some of the largest settlements in California. You need someone in your corner if you're suffering from a work-related injury. Rowan Gervie and Wynn Lawyers will fight to get you the medical treatment you need. A workplace injury can happen at any time. Put this number in your phone now. 855-4-RGW-LAW. 855-4-RGW-LAW or go to rgwlawfirm.com.
You're going to need me.
You're going to need us.
All of us.
You're going to need our technical skills.
Our math. Our engineering skills.
You're going to need our help with your water. Your air.
Your food. You're going to need our organizational skills, our problem-solving skills.
You're going to need our determination, our honesty, our compassion.
You're going to need the next generation of leaders to face the challenges the future will bring.
And we promise, we'll be there when you need us.
Today, 4-H is growing the next generation of leaders. Support us at 4-H.org.
I hate rats so much. I scream like a girl. I run away. I freak out. I get shivers. I lose control of...
This is the best news of my life, Bernard. Steve, have you heard this? Now, when I get these offensive pictures, I'm just going to send you back rat photos.
Well, I can look at a picture.
It'll be videos.
No, I'm going to murder you. And then I'm going to bury you in a pile of feces.
Rat feces? Yeah, that's okay, true.
Recognize.
Thank you for that.
Dr. Drew. Midday Live. Mike Catherwood. Weekdays noon to 3 on KABC.
Do you believe in magic in a young girl's heart? How the music can free her whenever it starts, and it's magic if the music is groovy.
Welcome back to Gervie's Law, turning Murphy's Law upside down on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
We're back. We're talking magic. I love it. We got so many magic songs. Just this morning, I was at home, and I was talking to my friend Alexa, and I was telling Alexa to play cleanup songs for my little kids so they would clean up the floors. And she comes up and does all these great, great songs that the kids love. So, Alexa, I'm going to ask you about magic. If you don't know who Alexa is, try Amazon. You can find out. We have Professor Daugherty here from Loyola Law School talking about magic and the law. I want to go back to law school just to take one of your classes. They sound fascinating at Loyola.
Well, I think we have a pretty good program, and we have a lot of fun in my class, and we do read the Teller case.
Oh, you do, for example. That's good.
Yeah. We don't read the earlier case where Mr. Rice, the mystery magician, sued Fox.
That's Valentino. So Rice, for the mystery magician, and Ed, I know you were following the Valentino. He's a friend of yours, isn't he, Val?
Yes. You know, this guy who was the masked magician, this was a crazy thing. He started out as a member of the Magic Castle. He had a great act. It was a Dove act that we all loved him. And then one day, there he is in a mask. But a lot of the magicians knew who it was
before he disclosed
based on his body language. He performed exactly the same suave way that he did without the mask. And so we were like, oh, that's Val Valentino. What the heck?
Yeah.
Now he still travels the world as the mystery magician.
Right.
He'll do a trick and fool you. And then they kind of turn it around and show you the backside and show you how.
And what happened with Rice? Because Rice sued Fox, I believe, because they say they ripped him off.
That's right. So Rice had a video disclosing magic tricks, effects. And Fox, I think Fox, he had some contact with Fox about it, a little bit like Jeff's story, I think. And Fox ended up doing their own version of a disclosing how magic effects are done, and Rice sued and lost, basically. And he claimed he was really claiming that his film, his video was protected, his character. But his character was too generic. And that's a lesson for some magicians, I think. The basic tuxedo outfit, no one in here is wearing one.
Not right now.
That's not original enough.
You know, and it goes to show you that it is really difficult to prevail in these lawsuits. Teller had a lot of money to put into it. Most magicians don't have that kind of money. So they have to kind of stick to the code of ethics. Do not ostracize yourself from the magician's community. Isn't that right, Kimberly?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I think, you know, you just have to, work in there. And because I know with Jeffrey and I, we're a team. You know, we work together well. And
here's a question for you, Professor. So especially with social media now, and it's getting even more tough with all the stuff that's just being revealed with YouTube. It's ridiculous. And you got these amateurs. And it's exactly what they are, as amateurs, and they're revealing stuff that
shouldn't be revealed.
Is there any way to protect that kind of stuff?
Well, it's hard to say. I mean, there'd have to be something else to give you some kind of legal right vis-a-vis that person. you know, disclose, there's disclosing the secret. For example, if one of those people was a former employee of yours and knew how you did your secret method,
right,
then they could be violating trade secret law.
And yeah, something totally different. But if you
and
go
out and contracts, essentially what you're saying.
Yeah, but if you go out and buy a marketed effect, you know, like Ed was talking about earlier, and all of a sudden you go ahead and say, okay, now I'm going to go ahead and do the silk and the handkerchief trick. You know, everyone knows how this is done. I'm not going to reveal it here, but everyone knows how it's done. If you don't, go YouTube it. I mean, it's not a secret.
Yeah. Well, but that's our world we live in now.
Right, but I think that's the main point, is that nobody is going to go and search out a magic trick unless they have a major interest in it. Mm. Here's a perfect example. I have no interest in finding out what the Coca-Cola secret recipe is.
Cocaine.
But if I did, really, right? That's it?
In the early
days. It's bad for you.
In the early days.
You know,
but if I did have an interest in it, if I was going to produce, then I would go and do it. And I think it's the same with magic. If you have an interest and you love magic tricks, it's only because you want to learn them. And I think that's the
true
upside of a YouTube, is it's brought a lot more young guys
good point
and gals
always thinking
into
the positive
the art of magic, which
you know, we only
have
a few
before
more minutes. There's a lot of calls. Mary, I'm going to take you. We don't have a lot of time, but you want your mind read, right? Mary, you're on Gervie's Law. There she is. What's up?
Hi. Do you want me to tell you what I'm thinking, or are you going to guess?
You tell me.
Tell me what you're thinking.
I want to know if my mediumship ever stops. Like, I think somebody's, like, trying to possess me, my mind, like, you know, kind of like the East Coast lady, only the Long Island medium. And this dead mobster guy that was my boss when I was 15 keeps knocking on my head. And I'm like, is it true or not?
Hold on. This is Ed Alonzo, the magician. Mom, I told you, please do not call me when I'm on the air. Would you get rid of her, please? Oh, my God.
Mary.
She's not taking her medication today.
Do you want to read her mind? That's a tough one.
I'll read her mind. Cuckoo. Cuckoo. How's that? You don't have to be a mind reader to know that.
Mary, we hope things work out for you.
Mary, we love you.
Jeff and Kimberly.
Let's try something really quick, because let me go ahead and give a quick plug.
We only have a couple minutes.
Okay,
so you want to do a trick or you want to give a plug?
No, both. This is what I'm going to be doing at the Magic Castle.
He's going to plug his trick right now. That's what he's going to do.
Go for it.
Sounds painful.
Ouch. I'm going to be at the Magic Castle next week, January 19th to the 22nd. It's part of the act that I'm doing where I'm able to read body language. So, Professor, you have a we brought some dice from the game Yahtzee. You've got a cup and a die. I can't see in that cup, correct?
Mm-hmm. Correct. It looks like a normal die.
Looks like a normal die. Let's go ahead and give it a roll.
And it's the radio transmitter. Oh, give it a roll in the cup?
Yeah. Take a look at the number. Don't let me see it, though. No one else can see it except you, right? Take a look at it.
Mm-hmm.
And you got the number. You happy with that number?
Mm-hmm.
You sure?
Mm-hmm.
Look at me. Count out loud from 1 to 6. Ready? Go.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Okay, so he looked up and to the right. Do you see that? When he looked up to the right, 3. What number did you roll? The 3?
You're totally right, and I even felt it when I was doing it.
Hand it over to Alan really quick.
3.
Hand it over to Alan.
Wow.
Alan
really is. Never,
that's
wow,
amazing.
That is good.
Ed is in shock.
I don't do anything that good in my show.
Wow.
Wow, that's good.
Go ahead and give it
I think you should talk to Mary.
We are not going
to
go play Yahtzee at his
house. Okay, go ahead.
Forget that.
Take a look at the number. Take a look at the number. When you're happy with that number, let me know. And if you want to give it a roll again, it's up to you.
I don't want to.
We want to hear it shake on the air, right?
Can you hear it?
Make sure it's not the same number 3, okay?
Kimberly has...
Yeah, that's shaken, not stirred.
Kimberly has her eyes closed. She is really focusing. I'm very happy. Yep.
Okay. Will you focus on the number?
Okay, Alan, keep saying the number over in your mind. Is it the number 4?
It is absolutely the number 4.
Whoa.
Wow.
Whoa.
That is crazy.
I think I'm going to become a member of the Magic Castle.
I had to count to 6?
I wanted to go see that.
Is your friend Neil Patrick Harris still the president of that
no
place?
He's no longer the president. He did a great job. He resigned, and now he's living in New York with his family. But I still talk to him a lot.
Does he come out here?
He does. He's back and forth all the time working on projects. He's got a couple deals that he's working on, one of them that will include magic. And his new Netflix series, Limity Snickets, started airing last night on Netflix. It's really creepy and fun. Yeah. Why am I promoting him?
Yeah, promote your movie. You're doing a movie, Magic Camp.
I am currently working with my friend Justin Willman, who is the host of Cupcake Wars, who's a magician. And we are teching a movie that Steve Martin wrote called Magic Camp. It's a Disney film. And all of the magic that we're adding to this film is all done live, and it's amazing. It'll be out next summer.
We're going to look for it. Ed, thanks for being here.
Thank
and
you.
I want to pursue our Magic Toy Box. Ed and I produced and wrote. He was the star of Magic Toy Box about 25 years ago.
Yeah, what a great show. Great show.
Come back to the magic toy box.
I sang it better
so
than that.
So sad to see you go.
See, he wrote the words and he still knows them.
The Bornsteins at the Magic Castle. I want to come up and see you guys. What are the dates?
January 19th to the 22nd. I'm working behind the W.C. Fields bar, just doing flying solo.
Cool. Yeah. You're flying solo at the Magic Castle. Professor Daugherty, it's been a pleasure. Thanks so much for being here.
It's so much fun to be here. I do have a musical gig on the Santa Monica Pier in April, but that's another day.
He is a musician extraordinaire. That's for another show. Thanks for listening to Gervie's Law. Yeah.
Thank you, Alan. This was fun again. This